So when the angels had left the shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them by the angel. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So this is Christmas Sunday. The lectionary reading is actually on wanted to push us to the wise men and the flight into Egypt today, but I resisted. I like using the lectionary, but I also like that we're free as Baptists to choose when we don't want to. And as I said, I've become a big believer in observing all 12 days of Christmas. In spite of the things around us that push us to get back to ordinary, especially after New Year's Day, I find real value in trying to claim the full season. After Christmas dinner, after all the gifts, after all the busyness, there's something valuable in trying to find some time to ponder with Mary, to reflect on the story, on the birth of Jesus, the angel's message and song, and the shepherd's news. We, of course, don't know when Jesus was born. There was no birth certificate, no birth records written, signed by a midwife, nothing filed in the county clerk's office. Like many simple peasants even today, nobody thought about writing down what day it was and what his name was anywhere that we know of. So we don't know the year exactly, and we certainly don't know the date. In fact, Luke saying that the shepherds were out in the field is a pretty good clue that it was not December. Because from what folks said, no, the shepherds tend in that part of the world to be out in the fields from early March, maybe till late November. But December, January, and February is rainy and cold. Not a time you want to be out in the fields. So the shepherds would bring the sheep and goats closer to home. So based on Luke's story, it wasn't December, but we don't know when it was. However, the church at some point, pretty early on, began to claim this time of year to celebrate Jesus' birth for other reasons. We've just passed winter solstice, the longest night and shortest day of the year. And now we are living into the turning of the year as the sun begins to creep bit by bit higher in the sky and the days get a little bit longer each day. Across all the northern hemisphere, growing more obvious and important the further north you live, this has always been a time of great symbolic importance. I remember the shock of my first northern winter. How short the days and how long the nights. I mean, I'm somebody who grew up in the tropics, where the days and nights are pretty much the same, you know, equal time all year round. And even in places like North Carolina and Georgia, it's nothing like here. And nothing like my first winter that Bill and I went to visit his parents in Belgium, which I think is even a little further north than here. This northern experience is different and profound. And for millennia, people have marked the solstice with worship and celebration. Across the world, in many different spiritual traditions, this is a time for celebrating light in the darkness, for celebrating new beginnings. And so the church claimed this time to replace pagan holidays, yes, and to be a time to celebrate Jesus coming, the light of the world. Now, maybe it's just coincidence, maybe I've missed it other years, but I was on Facebook noticing how many people commented on winter solstice this year. I think perhaps people are needing natural reminders of hope and new life returning. One member of my family who has a very difficult time with Jesus and Christian faith and all that stuff said she woke up the morning after the solstice with this thought clearly in her mind. The longest night is past. The light is returning. And she received it as a message for herself personally, for the struggles she's felt over the last 2 or 3 years, but also for the political struggles of our time. She received it as a hope-filled message. The longest night is past. The light is coming. And so we celebrate Jesus' birth, the light of the world, and we lean toward the light as it's coming. We reach for hope and new life. Now, those shepherds spending months out there with the sheep and goats would have been very connected to the natural rhythms of the earth, the changing of the seasons. Commentators I read differ on how shepherds were seen in Jesus' day. Shepherds, of course, have a very, very ancient history in the Bible. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were nomadic shepherds following their herds. King David, as a boy and a young man, was a shepherd. And his most well-known psalm refers to God as our shepherd. And there are other places in the Bible where God is referred to as a shepherd. Jesus himself calls himself the good shepherd. So in many ways, shepherding may have well have been seen as a respected and honored work. But there are some indications that by Jesus' time, some shepherds at least may have been hired hands who were a little less respectable, a little more likely to be rough folks who couldn't find a better job and were hired to watch after sheep and goats. So we don't know about these shepherds. We don't know how old they were. Maybe they were boys, like Joe said. But we can know that they lived very closely tied to nature, and we lived a pretty rough life. Anybody who's been camping for more than a few days know you get a bit gritty around the edges. Their clothes would have smelled of wood smoke and animals. Their hands would have been rough from labor. They had to be tough and brave to face wild animals and possible human thieves, but they would have had little opportunity for spending time in school or going to regular worship. They were simple men and boys, peasants. Their lessons were in the rhythms of the earth and the ways of animals and the look of a night sky with its stars. But on that night, as they lay by the fire, suddenly the sky split open and the glory of God shone around them. The line between earth and heaven dissolved and the shepherds were terrified. This breaking in of heaven, they knew nothing about this. The earth they knew, the sky they knew, but suddenly it had all been transformed with light and the sound of an angel. I don't know about you, but I've never seen an angel. But you know, people do. Bill's talked to people in hospitals who've seen angels. Sometimes they come in splendid light and glory, sometimes much more subtle ways, sometimes in a strange person, sometimes in a whisper or a nudge or an intuition. But angels are God's messengers, however they may appear. But these angels showed up in the full glory of heaven. No question, no suggestion, full force. "Don't be afraid," the angel said, which is what the angels say over and over again in the Bible. "Don't be afraid of God's word for you, God's message to you. I bring you good news of great joy. To you is born a Savior, which is Christ, the Messiah. And you're going to find him wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger, a peasant child, a baby of simple, poor folks like you." And then the sky filled up with sound and music and this whole host are singing, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace." And then as suddenly as they came, the light was gone, the music ended, and they're left lying in the dark, their hearts pounding, the music ringing in their ears. Now the words that Luke gives to them seem so dignified. "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us." Somehow I imagine it a little differently, more like a, "What's up? What was that? Did you see that?" And then "We've got to go check this out. Can this be true?" And figuring out, all right, somebody's got to stay and watch these creatures, and the rest of us, let's get going. And so they stumbled down the hill through the dark, headed for Bethlehem. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, simple peasants, poor folks like them. Somehow here there was no heavenly light. There was no special music. It was all very simple, very ordinary, very everyday. The shepherds were the only ones who saw and heard the glory, the majesty. They were the messengers. They were the ones chosen to receive this heavenly vision, to experience the breaking in of God. They shared what they'd been told with Mary and Joseph and any others would listen. And then they returned to their flocks, Luke says, glorifying and praising God for what they had experienced. And so for us, we hear it from the shepherds. Still, today, we receive their message, and we're left to ponder, like Mary, what can it mean? What might it mean for us? We've been given a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in heaven and peace on earth. Some of my ponderings. In Christ, somehow, in that baby, somehow, we see God's glory and peace on earth are connected, interrelated, bound together. The heavens opened and the line between heaven and earth dissolved. The division between matter and spirit ended, all revealed as one. In Christ, all things are held together, Colossians says. Not just that moment, that night, but in Christ forever and always, in us right now, in this earthly space and time in which we live. Richard Rohr writes that we are like Christ, an incarnation of matter and spirit, operating as one. And he goes on to say, every time we take a breath, we are repeating the pattern of taking spirit into matter. And every time we breathe out, we are repeating the pattern of returning spirit to the material universe. Our breathing models our entire vocation as human beings. This, more than anything we believe or do, is how we continue the mystery of incarnation in space and time. Incarnational living is living into the awareness and the understanding that all is one, that there is no division, no separation. God in Christ made one in us, all of us made one with each other, all humans, all animals and plants, the earth and the stars, all one in Christ. And this is our work, living incarnation, living the integration, living into the oneness. Last night at evening prayer, we gathered beside the labyrinth. We experienced the oneness through the labyrinth, the circle holding all our journeys, the circle holding together earth and sky and all its creatures, all held within the one. And as we begin our walking, we heard these words read. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. We are all part of the one in Christ. Let us live into that wholeness, that healing. Let us live as one.